Communications disruption can mean only one thing. Invasion.
For the Republic!
Frequency 1138 is all clear and clanker free. This is Clone Army Radio.
Execute Order 66.
Good soldiers follow orders.
Good soldiers follow orders.
I am a Jedi.
Like my father before me.
Begun. The Clone War has.
I found them. Repeat, I found them.
Cloners.
Now this is Podrace.
We're doomed.
What is up, Clone Army? Welcome back to the best accidental Star Wars podcast this side of the galaxy. We're just simple clones making our way. Like a father before us. Damn, Leto is sleeping on the knot.
Oh.
What's that?
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Sleeping
so
on the knot.
Not my brother anymore.
What happened?
You missed the knot.
I missed the knot?
I turned off the whole movie.
Day.
I get most of them. I'm sorry.
Well, I guess there's no better time to do this than right now. Leto?
See ya.
You're fired. Right at the beginning of the show. Why not?
As it should be.
Everybody take a drink.
So the drinking game is Leto watch Rebels.
Yep.
Leto, you're fired.
Leto, I'm fired. Yep.
Anyways, welcome everyone. As per usual, I'm John, and I'm joined by Charlie and Leto.
Yo, check.
Yo.
Yo. Chickity 1-2.
Or is it Leto and Charlie? How do you guys want to do that?
Leto,
you go
Charlie.
First. You go first.
I think Leto first, since he's the one who's been here longer than I have.
But all the shows I've missed, you probably have caught up.
I don't know though. Like, do you want an O at the end of a word before you go into another word?
Yeah,
Charlie always, and a Leto, Leto and Charlie.
It doesn't rolls.
Work. Doesn't yeah. work. This has nothing to do with Star Wars, but. Screw it.
What riveting listening material. Thanks for sticking around. If you're still here, thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody hung up by now. Hung up. They're not on the call.
Oh,
you
no.
know what I mean.
It's one of those apps. Click.
Yeah, right. Screw you guys. We're out. Not you guys. Us guys.
Bye.
Anyways, so we are on, I think, episode 119.
Oh, my gosh. Who's keeping track at this point?
I am. I have to.
Right.
You.
You okay over there? You spilled your drink, Leto.
Yeah.
I just saw like, the microphone like toppling over.
This thing is like, it probably went out on episode 21.
You just right. never replaced it.
No.
It's going to ride that thing until it just doesn't even pick up sound anymore.
Exactly.
All right. So this week we had a ton of Star Wars movie anniversaries in the, you know, around this time of year, time of month, I should say, the month of May. The biggest one, obviously, is the 40th anniversary of Return of the Jedi.
Hell yes.
Yes.
And so we're going to give that a little bit of love later on. We have a Return of the Jedi, I don't want to say our Return of the Jedi top three moments, favorite parts. Before that, there was some news in the Star Wars world, some interesting, some not good. And I think we're just going to kind of roll that over to our journalist, if you'd like, Charlie, and get
ahead.
Started on all of that.
So as May is coming to an end and George Lucas is George Lucas, the majority, in fact, I think all of his Star Wars trilogy films were all released in the same month of his birthday. So we kicked off this May month with the 14th being George Lucas's birthday. Very happy birthday to the maker. Thank you for everything. Always, always.
Thank the maker. Yes.
Thank the maker indeed.
Thank the maker.
And we rolled straight into the 16th of May with Attack of the Clones is now a proper grown-up. Attack of the Clones turned 21 years old.
Wow.
Ooh, it can drink.
This month. It can.
Have a drink.
Go out and get drunk at all those Jedi bars.
Smoke a few Death Sticks.
Mm-hmm.
21, jeez. I remember when it was just a wee little baby.
Did you guys go and like see it at the cinema? Or?
Yeah.
Yep. The Attack of the Clones?
I hate both of you.
Oh my God.
Wait, that's the second one. No.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, no, that one, guess what? Somebody gave me a pirated version on CD that I watched. Yeah.
Shock.
Yeah. Shock and awe. But the last one I saw in the movie theater.
Okay.
No, I saw it, but it was perfect. It was a perfect, like, digital, you know, copy. And I was like, yes, I will watch this and I will enjoy.
But, so it's 21 years old, you're saying. Sorry, yes. Lito, but I'm just kind of blown away right now because when I saw it in the theater, I was with my sister. My sister was pregnant with her first son. So that means he's going to be 21 in November. Jesus. Mm-hmm. That makes me feel really freaking old right now.
Don't worry. It gets worse. We hit the 19th of May and we have the anniversaries for The Phantom Menace and Revenge of the Sith. The Phantom Menace is 24.
Jesus.
Whoa.
For reference, I am 28. That's since I was 4 when The Phantom Menace came out. I can't quite wrap my head around that.
Wow.
And Revenge of the Sith is 18.
Oh my God.
Wow. One thing, you got your birthday every year. And then the next thing is, like, you got to be reminded how long ago these events happened in your life that you think just happened yesterday. Or, you remember them like yesterday.
Especially for you, because your birthday's in May. Mm. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, so I'm getting old. Star Wars is getting old.
Right.
You poor bastard.
I know. And all the movies are getting old.
Like, to think that The Phantom Menace is 24 years old is absolutely mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
Like, watching that film now, it holds up. It holds up so well. They're all so incredible and such absolute feats of, like, engineering and design and the forefront of special effects and computer-based, like, effects. We moved into the later part of the month, and on the 21st of May, Empire Strikes Back turned 43.
Wow. Damn. It's almost as old as me.
Wait, 43?
Yes. Yeah.
The Empire Strikes Back?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. That was in 1980? Okay. Yes. Makes sense. I can't believe that. I mean, I was 2.
Oh my goodness, you're a little baby.
A wee little tyke.
Yeah. I wasn't 2 yet. I was going towards 2. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, in a couple weeks you're a couple months you're
going to be 2. Yeah.
So I didn't even know the awesomeness that was already created for me when I would be waiting, you know, when I was a young, you know, TV watching age, the awesomeness. Yeah, it's just bumming out when I actually found out that these movies were made before I was basically, like, could comprehend life, that these amazing films existed. And I don't know. It kind of bummed me out. I wish, you know, I mean, you know, the Return of the Jedi probably was the one I could probably remember going to see at the theater. You know, they say that you went, but it's like, did I? I don't, you know, do I have the exact memory? No, but like.
It's okay. I don't remember going and seeing The Last Jedi in theaters when I most likely definitely did. Memory gone. No clue.
Right.
Wish I could trade with you.
I saw the re-releases. That's I remember mean. Those.
On the 25th of May, we had the 46th anniversary of A New Hope. So we're creeping towards 50 years since the first ever Star Wars film.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
You know, I hope we are still doing this show. So that we can, like, celebrate, like, such a just. I love Star Wars.
That would be, I mean, that's the big one. That's what started this whole effing thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That'd be a cool. We'll fly you out here and do a live show.
Aww. We also, obviously, we have the 40th anniversary of Return of the Jedi. Amazing, fantastic film. I watched it again today. I watched the despecialized version, and it's fantastic. It's just such.
Yeah.
We'll get into the meat and veg of it later, but it's just a really good film.
Despecialized must be a little less wacky.
Yeah. A lot less, like, no CGI to be seen. Not a whisper, not a murmur of it anywhere. It's all puppets.
Nice.
And it masterpiece. And then, Johnny, you'll like this one. As of the 25th of May, it's been 5 years since Solo came out. What?
5 years already?
Yes.
That's... God, even that's getting old.
I know.
I love that movie.
I know.
It's really, like, it's just become one of my favorites. It's a fun movie.
It's grown on me, definitely, over time. I remember when it came out in the cinemas and I was like, I have no interest in Han Solo. This is Star Wars and I don't want to go and see it. This is really unusual. And then I actually sat and was like, you know what, I'm going to watch it. And it was really good.
It really is. It just doesn't get, like, the love that I think it deserves. And no, I know a lot of it is... Just, it's a lot of people that don't want to see Han Solo played by anyone other than Harrison Ford, which I get, but, you know, sometimes you just got to let go of stuff and take it for what it is. But 5 years old, Jesus. I've been really wanting to watch that one again, too. It's been a while.
And the 27th of May was... It's been a year since the Kenobi series came out. What the heck?
Yeah, that's right. That was in May, yeah, wasn't it?
Was it? About a year, like, wow. Since I joined the show. And then our first big kind of Star Wars thing together was, like, Kenobi.
Mm-hmm.
No
did
way.
You, I can't
did
believe
you guys
that.
Hear the rumor that there might be a continuation of the Obi-Wan story, but as a movie?
Yeah.
There's a possibility that there's more Obi-Wan coming, which I don't know what the heck they could do, but I'd watch it.
Oh, I'd watch it in a heartbeat. If it's got Ewan McGregor in it, I'm watching right. It. My eyes are glued to that screen.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, maybe we find out how he ages so quickly, so fast.
Yeah, finally some explanation for that, please.
Lots and lots of drugs.
Yeah.
Death sticks, so many chain-smoking death sticks.
I could see him being hooked up to the aging machine of Princess Bride, you know?
Mm. Yes.
He's in the pit of despair.
That is Obi-Wan Kenobi. He is in. He's been in the pit of despair for a long time.
Pretty much, yeah.
For real. Yeah, they definitely couldn't have him involved with Darth Vader again at that point, though.
No.
Then it would just really... Now. Yeah. We've seen what we had to.
I think a one and done is fine. I think that, like, having that one kind of, like, reunion of the two of them in Kenobi was enough now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As we know, you know, things that go on too long get to be a little thin. So
a little stale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel terrible even attempting to leverage that word at Star Wars in the slightest, but I'm glad you guys agree.
I mean, even as much as I enjoyed what happened in the Obi-Wan series, in some ways, I think it might have been too much. They didn't really have to go there and tell that story, but then again, we wouldn't have had that great scene with Anakin or Vader's half helmet destroyed talking to Obi-Wan. Yeah, and that's
right.
That's powerful, and that's one of my favorites in all of Star Wars. So what do I know? I'm just saying that I'm agreeing, and I'm just talking too much because I'm hyper. So go ahead, Charlie.
He's turning into hyperactive.
Yes. I've gone to plaid.
We've had a bit more kind of Ahsoka noise. Tamara Morrison is reportedly going to be playing Captain Rex in Ahsoka. I'm sure we could already piece this together, make That's the assumption. Awesome. But it's nice to have that kind of floating around. This must be what he was like walking around that beach about, practicing his lines, just shouting into the air.
Right.
He is being Rex. Makes sense.
Yes.
Very good. I mean, he's got to. Who else can? Nobody else can do it. He's the face.
Yeah.
He's the likeness. I mean, mm-hmm.
Is he going to be bald and bearded Rex? Hopefully.
Are they going to de-age him? Like, not de-age him, but, like, I mean, they're going to have to capture his. He's every clone. That's, you know, every story that, you know, they're going to have to do something to get his voice and his likeness, and you know, because I mean, he's going to be in the stories. You know, and moving forward, I mean, I don't know. He's kind of a big deal.
And
Boba Fett. Oh, geez. And Boba Fett. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Boba Fett.
Where? I mean, just like, it's like he's not only like all like a million people. He's like the bounty hunter, too. So it's, I don't know. I'm just saying he's getting up there in age. So, I mean.
Tamora?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you're going to have to do something to capture that guy in a bottle.
Oh,
I see. If you want to use his characters moving forward in live action.
Well, okay. Mark Hamill sold his likeness, so I can imagine if the gentleman was offered enough money, I'm pretty sure he'd do the same. I think that's why Disney have pushed so hard for all of this kind of de-aging tech and all of this kind of face replacing and all of this sort of stuff to refine it to a point where it can be used to capture people posthumously.
Yeah. So the story can continue.
Mm-hmm. Right. Speaking of stories to continue, I feel like I want to take, it's a sad moment, but a moment to talk about. Unfortunately, we've lost another member of our Star Wars family. Ray Stevenson passed away suddenly on the 21st of May.
Oh.
He was known for his role in Punisher, his performance as Volstagg in Marvel's Thor. He also voiced a character in Bad Batch, I believe.
Clone Wars and I think Rebels, Gar Saxon.
Yes, Gar Saxon.
Yeah.
And he is, and will be, his character will still be debuting in Ahsoka as the villain Baylan. So it's very sad to have lost him so suddenly before the show's even had a chance to come out. In fact, one of his final interviews was talking about how excited he is to join like the live action Star Wars universe. So yeah, he will be very sadly missed, I'm sure, by many, many fans.
So young too, 58 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's super young. When you say the Punisher, did he play the Punisher?
Or was it was the one after Thomas Jane.
Oh, okay.
I forget. There was a title to it, I think. I actually have never seen that one. I heard it's really good, though.
I think it was one of the characters he was most sort of recognized and known for. It's what I've seen a lot of people bringing up over the last few days.
Oh, it's called Warzone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what it is. Yeah, I heard it's really gory and stuff, so.
As it should be.
Yeah, it is the Punisher, so.
it's hard for me to watch these Punishers and not think of Dolph Lundgren being the best ever to do it, but.
Dude, I just recently bought that on DVD.
You did?
Yeah.
It's so good.
Because I don't think they've remastered for Blu-ray or anything. I couldn't find it digitally, so.
That one was gritty and dirty and violent. You know what I mean? That one was like, that was before Marvel was owned by any, like every Marvel movie was pretty bad, you know, and anything Marvel, like it was pretty bad. But when that came out, us Punisher nerds were like, how do we get a copy? Because you could even get a copy. It was like some friend had to have it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even in the movie, in the blockbuster yet.
But yeah, Ray Stevenson, from what I've seen, he was a great actor. And yes. Seems like the interviews, he seemed like he was a really great guy too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to him, this live action. That clip they showed of him on Ahsoka looked awesome.
I know.
Orange lightsabers and the beard. Amazing. Right. Absolutely amazing.
Really also looking forward to seeing that.
His performance as Volstagg in Thor, like the first Thor film, is one of my favorites. Like absolutely one of my like comfort characters from that era of Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have like a in memoriam of him, you know, of little course. Title card in the end credits or before. Yes.
I think, a little change of direction. Galactic Star Cruiser's closing down.
Right.
After, I believe, less than a year of it being open.
Yeah, it did not last that long.
Mm-mm.
Not surprised, but I think I even put that on our Instagram. I'm surprised, but I'm not surprised because I thought it would kind of tank because of the cost, but surprised that they're just shutting it down. You would think that they would revamp and.
I think for the amount of, I'm sure we've talked about this on a previous show, but I think for the amount of people, the amount of staff that are required for what is essentially like a 3-day lock-in in a warehouse, sorry to ruin it for people, the profits just don't justify the amount of money that it must cost to run that 3-day simulation day in, day out, week after week after week after week. It's sad to see it go, and I know from the people that I've spoken to who have been, said like, you know, you you leave your suspicions at the door and you go in and you're in it, and it is the most magical and incredible experience. And the people, like the friends who I know who've been, have spoke nothing but praises about it. So I will admit there is a part of me that's a little bit jealous, a little bit sad that I'll probably never get to go.
Yeah.
But in the same breath, I cannot justify $5,000.
Wow.
So mad respect to the people who work those hours at those jobs to get those tickets, because goodness me.
Isn't like the role-playing thing that you do there, isn't that supposed to be like a canonized story in Star Wars?
Yes, it is. It's a canonized story. They've written the Helicon Starcruiser into quite a few comics now.
Well, yeah, they did a whole book for Han and Leia getting married there. So.
Oh, yes, they did. Leia's wedding.
Yeah. Does everything have to be... that's for another episode, really.
That is for another episode.
We'll just save
I want an episode entitled Should That Be Canon? And I want to do an episode entitled Controversial Star Wars Opinions, because I want to hear the... I want to hear it.
All right. We'll do it soon.
Thank
before you. Before Ahsoka comes out, we'll get to that, because...
Nice.
I have a lot of thoughts and...
Exactly. I want it. Yeah. I want to be screaming at the pair of you by the end of the episode.
Ooh. Well, we can get started right now. I'm just kidding.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I feel sad for the people that want to go to it still, and it sucks, but it makes sense that it's shutting down. They were a little too overconfident in putting that together, I think.
It's a little ambitious of a project, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you had some hardcore Star Wars fans in charge. I mean, to take it to that level. Yeah.
Also, I think seeing it launched at the end of the pandemic, like as the pandemic came to a close, was maybe not, obviously not everyone had that kind of expendable income. But God, it looked beautiful. There was Rey there.
Bad timing for sure.
I am glad that sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm glad that I got to hear about a firsthand experience from somebody that wasn't, you know, paid to go.
No.
And because there were all those people that got to go for free that are like, oh, it's the best thing ever. And then you find out that they're like, yeah, I never would have paid for it. So how good is it if they would say that? But to hear firsthand from somebody that went and really loved it and enjoyed it.
Yes.
Is cool.
Yeah, if it's anything like the Rise of Resistance, if it's like the Rise of Resistance, like for 3 days, I don't know how you come out of that alive as a Star Wars fan, because it's just like, it's got to be, I don't know, just it'll just be overwhelming.
I say 3 days, but they do boot you off into the parks for like half of one of the days, so You land on Batuu, and then you go into the Batuu bit of the park, and
you do all those things.
Yeah, and then you come, and then you get back on the Star Cruiser because you've had your little offshore trip, idea. I think that's a sweet idea.
If it was actually a Star Cruiser that you could fly in, that's worth $6,000.
What do you want? This is unrealistic. Speaking of unrealistic, the last little bit of news I wanted to chat about before we get into our top threes. So Jedi Survivor's been out for what? A month.
Almost a month. Yeah, two days it'll be a month.
In my lifetime, probably 2 seconds.
Probably 2 seconds. Yeah. So it's been out about a month, and obviously gamers love to game. So the speed running stats are clocking up, and I thought you guys would be interested to know that the current record for speed running a new game, so none of the extra bonuses when you finished it all, the current record time is 39 minutes and 54 seconds to get from the start of the game to the end of the game.
Jesus.
Wait, I can get through this game in 40 minutes?
No. This is glitched, by the way. This is like the glitchy where you can like jump through things and like all of that stuff that goes with speed running. But yeah, someone's got it down to 39 minutes of 54 seconds. Someone from Germany.
What? And what do you get for this record? Do you get in the world Guinness World?
Bragging rights.
Oh.
Bragging rights.
Yeah.
Oh, that's important.
And because people, well, it sort of ends up becoming like it starts off as like a few people doing it, and then a whole community will gather, because it also helps the game devs be like, right, so how do we improve on this? How do we make sure they can't do this? Mm. it becomes the player's job to break the game so the devs can then kind of piece it back together and use that for the next game. It becomes this sort of weird symbiotic relationship between like the game creators.
In all honesty, I wish I could finish the game in 39 minutes. Then I'd be done with it, but I'm not. So,
right. A little update for me. I got the game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have not started it.
Ah, do you have a 3-day weekend this weekend for Memorial Day?
Yes. I like every time I think about it, I'm like, okay, I'm going to start it up. And like, I immediately like fall asleep, like just before it boots up. So I don't know what's going on. It's just, I just been really, burning the candle at both ends, but I have it. You guys got me, you know, it sounds like a lot of fun. I can't wait to try to get through it and get hooked. That's the thing.
I'm so excited for you.
I need to just start playing it till I get hooked and I'll be like, I can't believe this has been sitting here.
Try it when you first wake up.
Okay.
Then you're awake and
yeah,
I've been doing it. I'm not thinking about going to bed. So
good point.
It's worth a shot at least. I flip it. I always tell myself like halfway through work, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna get home and you know maybe play Survivor for like an hour before I go to bed. And guess what? I never do.
Play Survivor before you go to bed
because I'm freaking tired. But yeah. So I've been trying to spend time on it on like my days off, nights off, whatever you want to call it, and just try to hardcore through it. Speed running, I wanted to look this up because I was curious, and I remember looking at it at one point. Skyrim, 1 hour and 12 minutes.
You could do that. I can see that. I can see that for sure.
Oh, no. With how monumentally broken Skyrim is as a game, I can 100% see the world record is an hour and like 2 minutes.
Only like 6 missions, the main.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're just going main story, I could see it not being super difficult. What about...
God. Oh, have you fallen down a rabbit hole? Just wait till you find the YouTube videos. I'll send you the Jedi Survivor one I was watching, because it is excellent.
Well, I can't watch it till I finish the game, though.
Oh, no, you can't. Okay, you've not finished yet.
I'm getting there. All right, I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole while we're recording. Probably not a good idea. I'm like,
no. Top 3 moments in Return of the Jedi. Yes. Go.
Oh, hey. Yeah, okay. So top 3 Return of the Jedi moments. So I figure what we'll do is we're going to go in order, like as in we'll go like around a table here. So
okay.
Charlie, you're going to go, then I'm going to go, and Lita, you're going to go, and then Charlie, then me, and then Lita, and then Charlie, and then Lita.
Nice.
Sorry, I was still going in the circle, guys. I was spinning.
You got really into that, didn't you?
I tried spinning. It's a good trick. So Charlie, I guess it doesn't matter. Did you go like 1, 2, 3 or 3, 2, 1, or did you just kind of pick 3 and doesn't matter what order they're in?
I'll go from like bottom to top in order of most importance, but that's just a personal preference thing. You guys don't have to do that.
Okay. Why don't you tell us your first or third one, whichever.
So, as this doesn't technically pertain to the original Return of the Jedi film, as it would have been in the theatres way back when, a whole 40 years ago, it would have to be Hayden Christensen appearing at the end as a Force ghost. Like, that addition to the specialised versions, that singular addition was meant so much to me. Oh my goodness.
Can I speak to that real quick?
Of course.
My gut reaction was I miss the older guy because the guy whoever was the ghost for Anakin before, because that's like the only time we got to see Darth Vader behind the mask. You know what I mean?
Like adult.
Yeah.
Darth Vader. I can respect that.
When we watched the originals, we had no idea what he looked like as a younger person. So that kind of messed me up because I have that image of that older guy. And I'm like, where does that older guy fit into the original film? You know, the the prequels. And so when I see Anakin now, I'm like, ooh, it doesn't work for me. I'm sorry.
No, but because I was a prequels baby, like yes. I watched those first before right. I watched the original trilogy. It yeah. made perfect sense to me. And
it's beautiful.
Has me in tears like every time. Yes. I know we talked about this a couple of episodes ago, but seeing clips on TikTok of people who are at the cinema seeing it and people cheering like up out of their seats for Hayden Christensen, just all is right with the world, in my opinion. So yeah, that's my awesome. Third best moment from Return of the Jedi.
That's great.
Good.
I wish I would have had your experience where it all like clicks together like that.
I really wish I could take like the passion and joy and those memories that I have and share them with so many people who didn't get to do it this way around.
I find myself kind of in the middle.
Ah.
Like I agree with both ends of that, really, because it's no secret Revenge of the Sith has become my favorite Star Wars film. I love it. So you see, in a way, you see Anakin die, even though he doesn't really die, but you see him kind of die on Mustafar. So it sort of makes sense to see him at that age as a ghost. But at the same time, every time I see it, I'm like, that just doesn't seem right. Like, it why isn't Ewan standing there? And why isn't CGI surely. Younger Yoda standing
yeah.
there? So it's I kind of get both ends of it. I appreciate it either way. And I get what George was trying to do for that. But yeah, Charlie is as you're like a straight up prequel. You're at that right age for all of that, that it's probably just amazing for everyone around your age to see that.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
So you recently saw that, you said you just saw the de-specialized version.
Yes.
So you know which what I'm talking about as far yes. as that older gentleman yes. that stands there. I don't know his name.
Oh, I've seen the original Return of the Jedi quite a few times. So I've,
oh, right,
I've
right.
had the pleasure of seeing both.
Okay, but to you, but hands down to you,
Hayden Christensen, seeing him show up and the smile that he does, the fact that they got Anakin back, like Hayden Christensen back in the robes to do it, and just the smile that he gives is it's the perfect full stop to the end of like a really really good movie.
Yes, it's one heck of an ending. You're exhausted by the end. I mean, mm-hmm. you've been through, you know, the Death Star and the fight and Endor, the little battle, the lightsabers. I mean, it's just, and you're just like, man, I just want to have a feel good moment, and it gives you a feel.
Oh, in spades, yeah. In spades.
Very good. Very good. I'm not saying too much about it.
Oh, no.
Because one of mine is kind of in that area. So
I knew this would happen.
I know. Yeah. I actually didn't pick one of my most favorite ever Star Wars moments. It's in this movie. I didn't pick it because I was worried that someone else might. So I left that one aside. Yeah, I guess since we're still talking, I'll kind of go out of order of my... Mm-hmm. list. The ending celebration of Return of the Jedi, I'll put that as my first one.
Nice.
The good guys win. Everyone's happy, hugging, mm-hmm. dancing. There's the music. There's the Ewoks playing the drums on the stormtrooper helmets and everything. And everybody's at peace. You don't realize if the prequels never happened, I don't know if you would ever really notice this, or the Clone Wars or Rebels, all of the backfill. You wouldn't realize how heavy the Shroud of the Dark Side is. On this galaxy, and when it's lifted, mm-hmm. everyone feels like this weight has been lifted off of them, and they're dancing and celebrating and having a good time. And then there's that moment that Charlie, you had mentioned about Anakin being there, but you see Luke just go over and lean on the tree, and he sees his two former masters slash friends and his father, and their ghosts look at peace. It's just a really good ending and a good win for the good guys that, I don't know. And Lando dancing, you know, he's like...
Oh, yeah, Lando's dancing is amazing. I would also like to remind everybody, that night is the night Poe Dameron was conceived. That is canon.
Oh. It's a war baby.
It is a war baby. His parents were surviving rebel pilots. And
that's right.
Yeah, found a hut in one of the Ewok trees and... There we go.
Yes, let's get it on. Do it.
Good beat of the drums as well. I feel like that would help. I need to stop. Next.
Ooh, yeah, the clanging of the helmets, amongst other things.
Poe is like a baby boomer.
In
a
way. That's the word I was looking for, right?
He's a war baby.
So yeah, that was the ending for me. Lito?
Yep. I go in order of the film.
Okay.
So just to let you know. My first moment is, look, Jabba, I was on my way to pay you.
Nice.
Yeah. when the fact that he's immediately like, I was going to do it. I promise. I'm sorry.
I just think there's awesome because, I mean, you're like, oh, man, like she's totally, I mean, because he gets totally defrosted, you know, he's in the carbonite. You're like, oh, my gosh, how is he going to get out of carbonite? Here comes this creature. Like, who is this creature? Like, what is this person, the thermal detonator, the bounty hunter? Because she's totally covered. Like, Leia's totally covered.
Oh, yeah, Bausch.
Yeah, I don't have no idea what's going on. But then she takes the helmet off. And they're like, oh, it's Leia. This is awesome. You know, and they have the moment, they kiss. And
not just the reveal, but the music score, like the cue Leia's theme as she takes the helmet off. Incredible. Makes me cry every time.
Yeah, they know how to make you feel the feels. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy's a master.
Who are you? Someone who loves you.
Leia.
Oh,
I know.
God.
That part gets me every time.
No, you're so romantic.
Yeah, I am. I love it. It's a great moment.
Oh yeah, it's a great. You know, they finally get together. Finally, something, mm-hmm. Which is rare. But it doesn't last long because Jabba's sitting there behind the curtain. I always look at C-3PO, his mouth being covered because
is it? Know,
yeah, somebody's like holding on to it so he doesn't talk.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Yeah, so I always notice that, and I think the little does the little crumb guy start laughing too?
Salacious. Love him.
He loves digging it, the dagger in. A little insult to injury.
Jabba asleep will never not be hilarious to me. The way he's just
right. He's got like the drool and shit.
Yep.
You know,
and then like little so crumb funny. Sat there watching his tail just like this, and like that is cat behavior right there. He's gonna pounce on it.
And to speak on that, Charlie, this is the first time I ever noticed it. Speaking of like Salacious B being kind of like a cat, is he's got a little pillow tucked in by Jabba's tail. I never freaking noticed that until the other day.
I think the story for him is he snuck into Jabba's palace and kept stealing food, but also liked to cause mischief, liked to be mean to guests and pull pranks on people. And Jabba really took a shine to him. And now Salacious B. Crumb lives in absolute luxury. He has cushions, he has oils and food and servants.
Wow.
And is allowed to do whatever the hell he wants. And I think that's just such a funny little addition. All of that from like a Jim Henson puppet, like the most labyrinth looking thing you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So yeah, that's so your moment, Lito. The rescuing of Han, kind of, or just Jabba busting.
Yeah, Jabba
Leia rescuing.
Behind the
curtain. Yeah. the high moment followed by immediate, oh crap moment, the shift in the story, because everything is going smooth. Jabba's up. He knows what's up. He's smart. Yeah. Which is cool. They got a good adversary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like how did? We could go into that some other time, I guess. But I find it interesting that Jabba totally saw that coming because they were all just behind the curtain waiting.
Yeah.
I know that laugh.
Hey, Jabba. Look, Jabba, I was just on my way to pay you back, and I got a little sidetracked. It's not my fault.
All right.
Is it my turn again?
Back to Charlie.
It is, yes.
My second top favorite moment has to be Princess Leia and Wicket W. Warwick's first interaction on the log.
Very good stuff, yes.
She's so calm and so collected and so just like no nonsense about it. She's, I'm not going to hurt you. Do you want something? Like, have this. Come and sit down. She's not afraid. She's not anything. She's just Leia. And it's such a beautiful moment for Leia's character specifically. You see that kind of motherly side of her that you get more of in the kind of sequel films. And it's very sweet. And also knowing how much of a strong friendship Carrie Fisher and Warwick Davis had on set, because he was only a little boy when he played Wicket. Mm. He was only about, I think, maybe 6 or 7.
Really?
And it would get hot in the costume, so Carrie would sit with him and give him juice boxes through his costume and always make sure that she had some chocolate stashed somewhere for him or some sweets. And he was enamored with her, absolutely. And you know, as like little boys do, sometimes they fall in love with the big grown-up lady. That was really what was going on. And just, they looked after each other, and it was just precious.
I didn't know he was that young. I mean, he's such a good actor with the movements of Wicket. I mean, I knew Wicket as a character seemed young, but like, I thought it was a seasoned, you know, actor playing the part.
No, it's Warwick Davis and a few other children with dwarfism all in the kind of same age bracket playing the younger slash baby Ewoks.
Man, you learn.
That's crazy.
That's very good. That's very good. Yeah, it's a great part. It's always fun. Little breather.
She takes her helmet off and he like backs off.
And he loses his mind, yeah.
I just looked it up. He was 11. That's still very young, but holy smokes. Yeah, I thought he was, like Leto said, I thought he was older than that. So
thank you for fact-checking me. I appreciate it.
I was kind of stunned that he was that young. So
Was Leia like knocked out or was she just sleeping, you think?
I think she wakes up out.
Oh yeah, she was knocked out because she crashed.
Yeah, well, I mean, she like jumps up real quick.
I just like how he helps her like get away from the scout troopers and stuff.
What the hell is that? Me?
Yeah.
Cut it out!
I'm not gonna hurt you.
It's just cute the way he pokes her with its spear. Oh, gosh.
Good.
What is That's your good. Next one? Is it Johnny or Leto next? Take your pick.
That would be me. So it's towards the end still. Return of the Jedi is my next moment, my number two. It's when Anakin comes back at the end and saves his son. He helps Luke defeat the Emperor. Although I think really he just did it on his own, but the good that was always buried inside of him, he finally stopped burying it. Thanks to Luke. Luke's love really pulled him out of that. And he saw an opportunity to finally do what he was meant to do as the chosen one. It's time to bring balance to the Force. And he killed, even though somehow he returned, he killed Palpatine.
And we don't see a body.
I know, it's Star Wars. You got to see a body. And even when you do see a body, they still come back with spider legs. So it happens. But, you know, he broke his chains because, I mean, let's think about it. Again, without the prequels, we wouldn't really know this hold, this control that Palpatine had on Anakin from when he was a kid. We'll watch your career with great interest. From that moment until this moment, he was pulling the strings of Anakin. And Anakin cut those strings, broke those chains. He broke free thanks to Luke. I think I said this, Leto, in our episode 38 or 39 when we had our top moments of Lucas era Star Wars. Anakin says to Padme in Revenge of the Sith, "Love won't save you, Padme. Only my new powers can." And he was totally freaking wrong because Luke's love saves him in Return of the Jedi.
Very good call,
So, oh my gosh.
I just, like I said, I call it the Return of the Jedi. It's the return of Anakin. Whoa, there's the finger. This has been a couple weeks since Charlie's given me the finger.
That hurts. Why have I never put those two pieces together before? Oh my goodness. I'm actually angry at myself. I've been watching Star Wars for years and I've never...
Rediscover it.
Hey, we all see it in different ways
and for sure
and different moods and all of that, but I think that that's just one of the most beautiful moments in Star Wars. And that's like, Charlie, when I was I think, Lito, you were off that week when I was talking about when I went to see Return of the Jedi a few weeks back in the theater. And I said I didn't have a problem with Vader saying no at that moment at the end when he before he picks up Palpatine and throws him. It's powerful without it, but it's powerful with it, too, because he's just like, no, I've had enough of this shit. Pardon my language, but I've had enough of it. You're not going to kill my son. You're not going to turn my son into me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let this happen again. This is done.
So, it's over.
George,
wow,
absolute perfection.
Absolutely. All right.
Lita.
Okay. Not such a deep moment, but a very exciting moment. And one of the moments that I immediately think of when I think of this film, it's the speeder bike scene on Endor, right before Leia gets... finds Wicket, you know, the whole reason she's alone. And it starts off with, you know, the Ewoks being a little brash, you know, doing something a little bit foolish that, you know, Ewoks probably, I don't know if they do it all the time because we don't know what happened before, but they were like, oh, let's go for it. You know, let's just try to grab one of those speeder bikes. Maybe they don't know the Empire and how, you know, how much reach they have, and as far as being like just everywhere and oppressive, but because we don't know their encounters before this, but they were all about grabbing it, and they were all about, you know, starting this whole thing, and yeah, man, it was cool.
That scene used to really scare me as a kid.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Because it's so fast. I think, like, all the dogfights in space and all of that stuff, even, like, the pod racing scene in The Phantom Menace, absolutely loved. But for some reason, there's something about those speeder bikes that's so precarious and so just anxiety-inducing, and how close the trees are to each other. And I think I might have had a bad experience trying to play it on Battlefront, and I think it scarred me.
Oh, my God, I can't even drive a speeder bike in Battlefront. I go right into the tree every time.
Every single time, straight into the tree. But no, I definitely remember watching that as a kid and like as a teen and feeling just like my heart race, that they're just going to have Leia absolutely blow up in a ball of flames right here, right now in this bit of the film.
Mm. See, that's kind of the, I don't want to say the good part, but like if you've never seen any Star Wars before and you're watching Return of the Jedi, there's so many moments where characters are in danger and you have no idea. Now you're like, oh, I know what happens. But yeah, like you saying, Charlie, Leia could have just made a wrong turn. Boom.
Exactly.
Lito, I'm sorry. Is that the part when the Ewok's legs are like flinging back when he takes off on the speeder bike?
Yeah. I love that part. That part. It's the second speeder bike scene. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So yeah, it doesn't lead to Leia getting out. It's the start of the Endor battle.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. But that's the part.
He plays a good role. He's a distraction.
Yeah,
he helps the rebels out by doing it, but I just love watching his legs like go flying back. Mm. It's a fun moment. You got to have the fun ones, man.
Yeah, the camera work's great. You know.
Oh yeah.
It's almost the first person stuff when you know when they do the speeder bike and the trees are flying by. It's all a bunch of fun, exciting moments and stuff.
I'm afraid our furry companion has gone and done something rather rash.
Oh no.
Oh my goodness. Is it time for my top one?
It is.
So, honorable mention to the Rancor keeper crying after the Rancor dies.
Oh yeah, I was going to pick that.
Gets me every time. Just a really lovely bit of just background comedy that if you're not looking out for it and you're not really paying attention, you can just miss it because it's literally like, I think, half a frame of this man's face cracking and he starts crying.
Mm-hmm.
But when you piece it together, and especially with like the stuff in Book of Boba Fett, they're emotional, intelligent creatures who don't deserve to be chained up and used as like warlord pets. That's not okay. That's animal cruelty. But no, my top kind of best moment in Return of the Jedi gives me chills every single time is it links to Johnny's. It's close, not quite the same, but close. Luke's laid out on the gantry and Palpatine is force lightning him to death. And you think, God, Vader's not going to do anything. It's not going to happen. Luke's going to die. And Mark Hamill overacts in this film. That man is working for his paycheck.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
However, this is the one time his overacting, I think, worked. And he screams like, Father, help me, please.
Mm-hmm.
And it tears me up. Every time, the desperation that, like, you can feel in the moment of the scene, that's what turns Vader. That's what gets him.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of the beg to his humanity, to his fatherhood, the decency that's left in him. Like, help me, Father, please. very moving. Very, very moving.
Absolutely.
It's one of the best kind of acted moments in the whole film. Mark Hamill's line delivery is sensational. Ugh. Gives me chills just talking about it.
I know. I mean, I don't even know if I can really add anything to that. It really is. And I think that I feel that now. I think more because my dad is gone. That, like, that Father, please help me. It's like, I think sometimes when I'm pissed off or, you know, down or whatever, I used to always just go and, like, vent to my dad and talk to my dad. And he would be like, listen, you know, he'd straighten me out. And it's kind of like that same, it's kind of a similar thing where you're calling to your dad to, like, come on, man, I need you, you know, and that's, you know, you're a dad. So you may get this when your kid's like, Dad, help me. You're going to do it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no question. It's embedded in you since, you know,
right.
To say we're screaming, you know, you're like, okay, what do you need? What do we got? What do we got? What go through the checklist, you know?
Yeah.
You're hungry. Are you hurt? Are you, you know, what do you need? You don't want them to suffer anything, you know, you don't want them to go through any kind of pain or, you know, you just want to take it all and make their lives as simple and easy as possible.
That's really beautiful.
That's a good one, Charlie. It's a good one.
I think I'm gonna
go with my main one.
Go.
The one I said I
am
left
actually
out.
Gonna start bawling in a sec.
So this is one of the ones that it's one of the top moments in all of Star Wars for me, and it's in that same area.
Mm-hmm.
It's just before it. It's never. You failed, Your Highness. I'm a Jedi, like my father before me. You gotta do the knot.
Yeah.
It's that part, even just saying the line gets me. It's Luke is now a Jedi. He is like his father before him. It's just a great moment. I'm not gonna turn to the dark side. I'm not gonna fight you. I'm not gonna kill you. I'm not anything. Do unto me what you must. But
the resolve, the certainty, the character development from this naive little whingy farm boy who just wanted to fly ships everywhere,
right,
to this man who knows who he is and knows what his legacy is and knows what his power is. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, and hero,
everything
and rebel.
You could ever want.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but he's a Jedi, right? So he is the Return of the Jedi as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, you can always look at it that way, yeah.
Because there's no,
I understand why George changed it from Revenge of the Jedi, because Revenge is not the Jedi. It's not the Jedi way.
Right. What were you going to say, Lita?
What's the plural of Jedi?
Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't say Jedis.
They don't say Jedis.
Mm-mm.
There's two Jedis. I don't think that worked. Yeah.
No.
Right. I always looked at it either way. Like, it's the return of Anakin to his Jedi self-ish.
Yes.
And it's the return of the Jedi, as in, like, the Jedi Order,
yeah,
the Jedi way.
Yeah, that's very much my taking of it.
Yeah. I feel like I've fallen back in love with this movie so much, just rewatching it lately and seeing it in the theater, and just seeing Luke as this confident Jedi through this whole film just always makes me feel better.
Never. I'll never turn to the dark side. You failed, Your Highness. I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Chanel Boots Skywalker will never not be my favorite.
Chanel.
Yeah. My number one. It's no surprise.
I know it.
Yeah. Let me look upon you with my own eyes.
Yep. It's another beautiful moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's when, you know, I'm thinking like, well, he's only got his arm cut off at this point, right? Maybe a little bit of lightning went through his body. He can survive this. I mean, he's not walking so well, but he's getting there. He's surviving. But when he takes the mask off, I mean, it's a done deal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's his breathing apparatus. He's not in his little pod, you know. It's over. But he doesn't want to, what else is there left to do? I mean, he's caused so much damage that, I don't know, he probably, you know, it's probably a, you know, the way he would, you know, how does he come back from this, you know, like from everything?
No, of course.
Right.
So he makes the decision that he wants to like at least look upon him, with, you know, with his own face, with his own, without this machine in the way. And that always gets me because it's true. Like he's good. Not just his actions, but like, I mean, because you never know. Like he's still walking around as a mean person, as this Black Death walking around, you know. You know, looks like you're good. I can feel you, but you can't feel it through the screen. You know what I mean? Like you see they say it, but when he decides to take the mask off and like, you know, reveal himself to Luke, it's like, yeah, he was right. I was a good guy. You know, I'm a good guy. Like, and you know, and then he loves his son. And I love you and I want to see you and I want to, you know, I don't want, you know, like they say, I want to have a moment, you know, just a real moment with you before I go.
The way he slows Luke down and is like, no, that it, there isn't time for that. I want this instead. And Luke's desperation to drag him in, the fact that he like collapses on the ramp of the ship, like just right. so close.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this, yeah, it's this beautiful kind of writing of like youth and energy and age and death. And oh,
all right there.
Isn't that the moment with like the violin playing the death Imperial March?
It's like real quietly. It slows down, doesn't it? Almost like his heartbeat fading, and it powerful stuff.
And you, like again with the prequels, you see Anakin in there still, like I do at least.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, tell your sister you were right about me, and you think back to we watched this character grow, you know, kind of in reverse or whatever, but we got to see this character grow into this evil SOB, but you see why he did it, and it's not, I don't even think it's whatever, that's in a whole other episode too, I guess, but I don't think that it's all because of his vision of Padme dying. Yeah, that kind of ticked the box, but it's all because of Palpatine. He created this monster, just feeding him lies and all of that stuff, but we see him come back to the light, and he wants to look at his son as not a machine, as
a man.
Yeah, as a father. And it's beautiful.
Luke, help me take this mask off.
But you'll die.
Nothing can stop that now. Just for once, let me look on you with my own eyes.
Thank the maker. Thank George, man.
Thank George,
such good shit.
Honestly, what a way to top off Star Wars month.
Yeah. For real.
For real, yeah. And I saw the documentary of David Prowse. Right. Him reenacting the scene, you know, him being the one in the Vader mask, you know, mm-hmm. and having like this actor, you know, play Luke. So I think he got his, you know, his scene, you know, finally. So in one way, you know, it's one way he got to be kind of you saw his actions, but he didn't get someone else played the part of when they actually did it. So it was good that he got his chance to play it, to be in that spot too.
Ooh. For all the incredible body work David Prowse did, bless, I think the only reason he didn't get selected for any of the face or voice parts is because he has quite a thick regional accent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there are quite a few shots of him in the Darth Vader costume speaking the lines, and it just doesn't work.
No, not at all.
I feel horrible saying it. It's laughable.
Yeah.
Right. That's too bad. But yeah, his body acting is great.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. That power stride,
mm-hmm.
getting off the ship when everyone's lined up for him, he's like, he's bombing it down that runway. He's going for it.
Right. I mean, you know, look at The Mandalorian. 90% of the time, it's not Pedro Pascal in the suit. He's doing the voice work.
Yeah.
I've spent all this time trying to tell you guys all of the little tells you can be like, that's Pedro. That's definitely Pedro. Lies and slander. I've just been gaslighting the two of you for the past like 6 months. It's definitely Pedro in the suit.
And it hasn't been at all.
No. Nope.
But it's fine. You know, it's like you've got.
No, it isn't.
You've got the actor in the suit doing the thing, and you've got the voice actor doing all the voice parts. And
yeah,
not that the Mandalorian is up there with Darth Vader yet, but it's the same type of thing. And I think it's great that these actors in the suits get the credit that they're due.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they are there playing these parts. But yeah, Darth Vader would not have gone over very well without James Earl Jones.
Yeah, for real. That was the voice beyond voices. Yeah. That was the perfect choice.
Absolutely. I think, did we do our threes?
We did.
Yep.
Very good, very good. All good ones. I think it's funny that a lot of them were right around the end of the film.
We specifically selected three instead of five so that we wouldn't all end up with the same ones. And lo and behold, we've all ended up with the same ones. Give or take a few scenes.
Right. I was worried about that with the top five. I was like, I don't know. I feel like there's so many moments in the film for me, but I feel like I always hone in on those few. And I was like, yeah, we're all going to have like at least a couple overlaps. But this worked out okay.
It really did.
Absolutely.
I love that you guys love Star Wars the way I love Star Wars. That makes me very happy.
Yep. We found kindred spirits.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. So I think that's all, right? I think,
yeah, let's meet up in another 40 and see if we still
another 40 years.
Yeah.
So I watched Return of the Jedi yesterday.
I finally watched Rebels.
I've nearly finished season. Oh.
So yeah, I think next week we are going to have a breather, take a week off for a break. And then we will be back at it. So if anybody wants to send us messages or anything telling us what your top three or top one moment of Return of the Jedi, we will share it on our next episode if you want us to.
You definitely left a lot of moments out there.
Oh,
so many moments. I feel like we only focused on like the final act of the film.
Yeah, pretty much.
Quick, one honorable mention each. Charlie, go.
Honorable mention, Wedge. Anything with Wedge Antilles in for the 0.2 of a second that he's in there, Wedge.
Nice. am I next?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. On Endor, and they tell Han quietly, and he's like, hey, it's me. And then he goes and Fs it all up, steps on the branch, and...
Nice.
Lita?
Wait. I forgot. How could I forget? The Princess Leia bikini. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. You said it. Yep.
Yes.
yep. My part similar to the, as close to there, the Rancor pit. The devastating, you know, thousand years of digestion. I'm like, oh my God. No one's ever going to come out of that thing.
Oh, Sarlacc pit, you mean?
The what'd I say?
Rancor pit. Oh,
No.
That'd be fine.
The Sarlacc pit. The Sarlacc pit. Yes. Sarlacc pit. Yes. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
The Rancor. Yeah. The Rancor's cool too. No, but we talked about the Rancor. Yeah. But we didn't mention the Sarlacc pit. So I just wanted to.
Your Eminence wishes you to digest for 1,000 miserable years.
Yeah. And it burps. Yeah. So funny.
Yeah.
It
does. When Boba goes down, right? Right on. All right. So we will catch everybody next time. CloneArmyRadio@gmail.com, at CloneArmyRadio, Instagram, and Twitter. Charlie?
You can come and pester me on Instagram at RunningBackToJakku. I am nearly at 2,500 followers. So
wow.
Just to let people know. If you're listening to me and not following me, what are you doing?
And yeah, may the Schwartz be with you.
May the Schwartz be with
you. May the Schwartz be with you.
Do it.
Admiral Viet.